Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I'm Tim, and the topic of our podcast today is Marie and the Guillotine. We've got so it's a little bit different topic today. We're doing an actual historical topic, but it'll be bloody.
Who picked this topic?
I did, thank you very much. But it'll be bloody.
All by yourself?
Bloody and gory, I promise. We'll have some blood and gore. Yeah, my mom was real disappointed in it. She said, "What murders are you doing next?"
Yeah.
I said, "We're actually doing Marie Antoinette." Well, did she kill anybody? I said, she got her head cut off. So she said, "Well, that counts." So we'll get in and talk about the guillotine, the history of the guillotine, and also its most famous victim, Marie Antoinette. But before we do that, let me introduce our panel. I'm joined here on my left by the very stunning, the very sweet, kind, generous.
No, she left, Timmy. We got the devil here.
Well, there's an empty seat beside
her. Yeah, okay.
Wow.
But you make me rank a good point. I'm also joined by the Empress of Evil, Queen of Mean, the, I don't know what hell, I don't know what the names are. But did I miss something?
Satan's dirty little secret.
Satan's dirty little secret. Brandy. Mm-hmm. How are you, Brandy?
You guys are asshats. That's how I am. That's how I am.
You know, that is not a nice thing to say about your colleagues, people that you work together.
Well.
The people you work with every single
then
day.
Then quit being an asshat. And I won't have to say it.
Then let me introduce our other colleague, who is far more,
he's better.
Pleasant?
Well, he's nicer, that's for sure.
Is he?
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes.
Most people would say so.
Mm-hmm. Hey, intelligent?
Most people go along with that.
Debonair?
Nobody goes along
with that. Goes without saying.
Impotent?
Yes.
I got the bionic penis,
that for
remember?
Sure.
Has the bionic penis, Timmy.
The most dangerous man in podcasting today, the Honorable Colonel Charles Beauregard, Hawkwaters III, affectionately known as Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Wonderful, Timmy. I got lunch today.
Yes, you got a free lunch today.
Got a free lunch
today. Because we brought
Timmy
it to
brought
you.
Me my lunch.
Yeah, I try to do, you know, try to do my good deed every once in a while. But other than that, how are you? Other than getting your free lunch.
Well, the weather's been nice. I've been out with that hound and
the Rudy Meister.
The Rudy Meister. He went out. I took him out the other day. I gotta give a shout out to me. Saturday night we had a surprise party for my daughter. It was her
yes.
birthday.
Yes, happy Sarah. Birthday, Sarah. I'm sorry we missed that last time.
So that was a lot of fun. Had the boys all in town. Showed up for it.
So you guys went bowling, didn't you?
We had it at a party room at a bowling alley, and then a bunch of people went bowling. Now the colonel don't bowl because
you suck.
Yeah.
No, because I view bowling as one of those things that much like knitting or collecting stamps or. Once you do those things, you're just sitting around waiting to die, Timmy.
Once you start bowling?
Once you start bowling, yeah.
I mean, it's the downhill slide.
Yeah, it's about over then when that becomes your form of entertainment. Mm-hmm.
Lots of people bowl. Nobody says you had to do it all the time, but you could have bowled a game or two for your daughter's birthday.
Well, no, there was lots of people bowling. But
he's
being a stuck-up prick.
The colonel don't take off his cowboy boots to put on some clown shoes.
Yeah, those shoes got to be gross too.
Oh, they're foul too. Yeah. They're foul things.
Yeah.
So
I refuse to participate in any sport where I have to use other people's shoes.
I am not surprised by that.
And when you have to borrow a ball, Timmy. If you have to borrow balls.
Yeah. You can't use your own balls.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, these people take this stuff seriously, Tim. I mean, they come in here, they got the bag, and they got the...
Oh, I know. You know what it's like? It's like playing softball, and there's always a guy who's got his knee and his elbow wrapped up,
mm-hmm.
and he's coming in. He's got his a special softball bat in a bag, and he's playing like co-ed softball.
Yeah, got the eye black down under his cheeks. Yeah.
That's what you should have done when you went bowling.
Black
from two people that do nothing.
Now, the colonel played softball for years and years and years, but I never played no co-ed ball.
But you don't now. And yet you're making fun of.
No, I mean, even when I played.
The bowlers.
No,
because you have this whole class of characters who look like ball players.
No, I stopped listening.
Now you know this out of yourself.
We just move forward.
When you was playing in your lesbian softball league in college, you had girls that would they'd have all the right gear and they just looked like they was good players. They looked the part.
But then the ball came to them. She played for the Dayton Dykes, I believe.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Now, come on. It was only in college. There ain't nobody judging you, devil.
No, you're allowed to experiment.
You're allowed to experiment.
Lesbian softball.
Lesbian during college or something. Lesbian until graduation. Yeah. She was the love.
Was it Cincinnati carpet cleaners?
The Richmond rug munchers.
But we don't judge you, Brandy. You really don't. We love lesbians.
There ain't nothing wrong with that.
No, we love lesbians. Especially hot lesbians.
Yeah. The lipstick lesbians.
Yeah.
I'm so glad for you guys.
Not the peggers.
I'm so glad you guys got a kick out of that.
No. We are opposed. Pittsburgh peggers.
The Pittsburgh peggers, yeah. We don't like those.
Well, you got to walk with your back against a ball all the time you're around them. You know what I mean?
And, you know, and this would... We have been a team for quite some time. And, you know, we embrace each other's quirks and strangenesses, and we don't judge you for what you did in the past, devil.
No, we don't. We judge you for what you do now.
And we judge you harshly for what you do now. But we don't judge your past. So it's okay.
And we support gay and lesbians. And
absolutely. We're 100% behind your choice to be a lesbian softball player.
We're just sorry that you don't feel comfortable enough.
That you can't accept yourself.
Yeah.
It's called self-loathing, devil.
You deserve loathing.
There's loathing that's justified,
but not because of that.
Right,
not because of that.
There's plenty of reasons to loathe the woman, but not that.
Right. Any comments, Brandy?
No.
Okay, Colonel. Do we have a sponsor?
Well, you know, our friend of the show is always Bob Mears and Son Painting.
Yeah.
I believe he just got done with a big job.
I heard he was going to be painting the space station. Is that true?
What's that place? Michelangelo. He did it on the ceiling. Sistine Chapel. Needs some touch up. They got Bob in there.
Oh, okay. But I also heard he might be working on the Skylab.
He's going to go up there. It's hard to paint with no zero gravity.
It is. I mean, paint just goes everywhere.
It just blobs.
The trimming is just impossible.
Yeah, it's a bitch. And then try to put masking tape up.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, Bob Mears don't even use masking tape, Tim.
No, you don't have to. He's got a steady hand.
He got a hand like a brain surgeon, Timmy.
Yeah.
His hand just don't shake it off.
He's been stroking for...
He's been smooth stroking for 27 years, Timmy.
Yeah. You got any shout-outs, Colonel?
Let's see. I got a shout out, of course, always to Lady Beverly mm-hmm. and Sully. Got a shout out. Give Allie a shout out. Mm-hmm. She's a woman from South Wales there.
Yeah, Allie's cool. She's always
bought cool herself stuff. Three pair of sunglasses, which for the life of me, I never understand.
Well, they have those. They got those very.
You need one for violet. Different outfits.
Well, and you got those violet rays down there in Australia.
Violet rays.
Ultraviolet. Yeah. Yeah. Is she in violet. Australia? No, I think she's South Wales in England.
I think she's in Australia.
South Wales. Where the hell is it?
In Australia.
Allie, please post and tell us where
you are. It's in Australia.
Wales.
Okay.
South Wales.
Let's see. We got Kim Taylor, of course.
Kim
we
Taylor down want to give in a Kentucky. Shout out
to. Down in Kentucky. Mm-hmm. She all right for Kentucky though. She seemed like she probably wears shoes and stuff.
Yeah, I think she moved around, but she's a transplant. She's now living in Kentucky.
Oh, okay. So she's used to wearing shoes. So she,
she's more. She wasn't. She's not a native.
Of course, always Erica. And as we have Buttercup.
Buttercup. Yeah, I'm going to say hi to also to Brittany Buttercup. Brittany Buttercup. Boyfriend Chris, who listens to the podcast.
But, mm-hmm.
So, hi, Chris. Thank you for listening.
And Brittany was the only one to come forward, the only one courageous enough to come forward to side with the Colonel on the whole Dirty Flower episode.
Although Michael says he lets his wife go up the old dirt road on special occasions.
Did not catch that one.
Yeah.
Did not catch that.
So, yeah, South Wales is in Australia, you dumbasses.
Oh, I did not know that.
I'm sorry. I don't look like fucking Magellan over here.
Okay, I've got some shout-outs, too.
I barely know where Cincinnati
is. Well, hold on.
Is.
I have not finished mine. To me,
he's not finished, clearly.
All right.
Who do I have to... Do I even have to say a name? Come on, Timmy. Give me a D.
Just say
it. Give me a D.
Just give the shout-out.
Devil, give me a D.
No, I'm not doing that.
Shout-out, please.
Come on, Dottie Scott. You know you're our favorite. Okay. Our number one fan, and the reason we do this show, Dottie Scott.
Stephanie, by the way, is her last name is Quick.
Stephanie Quick. We got that settled.
She said it was a screw up on Facebook that wouldn't allow her to get it corrected or something. So I'd like to say hi to her, give her a shout out. We have a new Brandy McKenzie, who listens. Thank you, Brandy, for listening. Glad you could join us. We have Lorette, I believe it's Lorette, who gave us. She loved the Evelyn Dick story, and she gave us a couple of suggestions for we're going to look into. From I think she's from the UK, so we're going to look into those. Trisha, did we say Mary Ray? Tasha, and as you said, Elise, and then Katja. Katja, is that how am I pronouncing it right?
From Celine.
And Celine. Katja from Denmark. Thank you for joining us. And for all of you who listen and follow us on the regular History Dweeb page, thank you very much. But we have a History Dweeb group that you can join on Facebook. It's called History Dweebs, the podcast, where we the History Dweebs page is kind of limited on what you can post. I set it up as a blogger, so most of the postings is only things that I can post. But if you join us on the History Dweebs, the podcast group on Facebook, we just starting that up, and we're getting a lot of interaction, and it's really cool because people can post things, and we can, they can make fun of us and do whatever. So,
did you mention Charlie's crazy ass?
I forgot to mention Charlie and her husband Lars have a podcast called Unblocked. Yeah, so check it out when you get a chance. So, okay, so let's get into. We're going to talk about, as I said, Marie Antoinette, but before we do, we're going to talk a little bit about the history of the guillotine, because this whole, the climax, you like this term, the climax.
The whole orgasm.
Yeah, of this podcast is when Marie Antoinette meets her fate at the hands of the guillotine. So before we talk about Marie Antoinette, we're going to talk a little bit about the guillotine, and nobody can talk about the guillotine. There's nobody I know who's more well-versed in the art of torture than my good colleague here, Colonel.
No kidding.
the colonel. So, colonel, can tell us a little bit about the guillotine.
And, you know, I had to learn about all these things when I started to put together the Colonel Justice Group.
Right.
Because there's different, you know, like the devil, we probably, well, I won't get onto her for right now, but she deserves some Colonel Justice. But anyway, guillotine is a strange thing. It's designed to efficiently carry out an execution by lopping off your head.
Doesn't seem like a strange thing.
Well, it doesn't seem like strange to you, you Satan-worshipping, head-dropping. I mean, that's not strange to you. To people like me and Tim, see a guillotine and we go, ooh, that's not.
There was a thing on the that I think Brittany posted on our page about that guy, the rock punk rock singer, who his name was Pussy, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He had decapitated his girlfriend and had sex with her head. So,
that guy.
That's one thing that the guillotine would come in handy for.
It would come in handy, and as I said on the page, the guy just wanted a little head, and she said okay, and I think she wasn't really sure.
That's kind of a one shot thing, though, dude. I mean,
I don't know if it's a one shot thing because a head won't.
You know what I mean. It's time.
What about the guy who poked out both his eyes and ate one?
Yeah, that's cool too.
That was on there. That's fucked up. Why would you do that? It's crazy.
Well, why not eat both if you poke them both?
That's what I'm saying. Did you not have time to pop them both in like M&M's?
Maybe. Well, maybe no,
you're gonna need one eye to find it. You're gonna eat
you poked
your eyes
them both
you
out.
Yeah. Oh, you poked them both out and only ate one?
Yeah, poked them both out and ate one. Oh. So you should know what the fuck you're talking about before you start yammering on. But go ahead about the guillotine.
Did the devil seem a little cranky today? You got the PMS, devil?
Her friend is, her monthly friend is.
My monthly friend is not here.
Okay, well, it seems like somebody's.
I'm going to put a poll up after this on the History Dreams podcast page for people to see if our listeners think that it's time for your monthly friend.
It is not.
Or if the devil just seemed especially cranky, because do you even have your monthly friend when you're in the menopause? You having hot flashes or something over there, devil?
Oh, she's transitioning.
She's making a change to
manhood.
Exactly. Okay, so
she's not finding any of this amusing.
Well, one sentence into this, and I've already got distracted because the devil's
shocking,
in a terrible.
Chuck got distracted. Good thing we were sitting down for that revelation.
See how you're pushing getting already?
Yeah,
it's okay, devil.
Yeah,
we got some M&Ms over there.
I got M&Ms over there.
We know this is a very difficult time in your life, and you know when you start growing a penis, it's very. It can be stressful.
And this falls in line with Timmy's theory that
Chuck is never grown one, so he doesn't know.
As women age, they grow penises.
So there was that.
Yeah, I don't know. Why are you taking a shot at me? I thought we were teamed up against the devil.
Yeah,
what are you doing?
Every man for himself.
You know what? Yeah. I think he's seeing which side this is going to come down on, and you just got fucked.
Yeah. I'm kind of like Mitt Romney here. Seeing who's going to be ahead in what state. But go ahead, please.
Okay, well, a guillotine, it consists of a tall, upright frame and a weighted angle blade, which is raised to the top and suspended. And then they take the condemned person and they bend them on the hands and knees. They tie their feet down.
Yeah.
So
far, it's Saturday.
Sometimes they will bugger them before the execution.
They do not.
There's no buggering.
It could happen. They're tied down.
There's statutes against buggering.
You know what? Now
buggering.
Whatever.
And you know what else?
But, you know, think about this, though. If you was going to execute, you know all those executions.
Might as well get some ass. That's what you're saying.
That's the guy that gets had.
You know somebody tried to jump in there and get the dying quiver, Timmy.
Yeah.
You know what the dying quiver is,
No,
right?
Tell me.
What's sad is that you know what the dying quiver is.
It's when the poor bastard, not the poor bastard, the dirty bastard will be behind the person, mm-hmm. buggering them.
Uh-huh.
And I believe when your head gets lopped off, I would assume every muscle in your body would tighten up and clench up.
Yeah.
So, you know, it became a fetish kind of thing. They called it the dying quiver.
Yeah. How do you know about that?
I researched the subjects, devil.
I must say that I went by his office yesterday,
and he had on his computer, he had all these torture devices and guillotines and shit.
Again, Saturday night. Yeah. That's all he's doing.
Yeah, okay.
I was out doing the Lord's work, and he's screwing around.
I think he was doing research, but okay, Colonel. Please continue.
Well, anyway, so you're down on your hands and knees. Your head's dropped in this little board that's got a cutout for your head.
Yeah.
You may or may not get buggered, depending on if your family's rich and can pay off the guy. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because they're... some of them did pay.
Actually, they would pay to make sure to play. I'll get to that one. So then they release the blade. It falls down swiftly and severs the head. And usually they had a basket that it would fall in. Now, I did some research on this.
It would make sense. I mean, otherwise you've got the fucking head rolling down the street and you got to go chase it. And
that happened.
It did happen, actually, a couple times. Now, there is some question as to whether you could stay alive or not after your head's chopped off.
Yes,
how
yes.
long? For how long?
Yeah, this is interesting.
And
just long enough to watch your head roll down the street.
I did some research on this, and they said that you probably would stay alive for about 4 to 5 seconds.
Because you still got oxygen in your brain.
You still got blood flow through your brain. You still got oxygen. It would be about 4 or 5 seconds before the oxygen completely blacked out. The only, there had been a couple instances where people were like moving their mouths, but they said that was just spasms that they were having. Used to tell people to blink their eyes for as long as they could after they got guillotined because they was trying to find out.
Yeah, help us with this research. But I would be like, fuck you, I'm not
I know. Who's cooperating? It's like, let me help you out. Let me do everything I can.
I have read reports where people would have like this scrawl, giving these dirty looks to, the executioner.
Well, one son of a bitch smoked a cigarette.
Good
he had a cigarette
him.
In his mouth, his last cigarette, and he kept puffing on it for like 20 minutes after.
Did it 20 minutes?
I think that might be a little excessive.
Okay.
But I've seen people where I have read reports where people would give this dirty look to
I have a dirty look too.
The executioner, as their head is, on the ground, they'll look up.
You son of a bitch.
I think I'd be pissy too.
Now, it really gained popularity in France during the French Revolution. It was celebrated as the People's Avenger, Timmy, by supporters of the revolution and vilified as a preeminent symbol of the Reign of Terror by opponents.
I really wanted to be I would have loved to have been at the Reign of Terror.
Yeah, I'm not really sure that I would have wanted to be, because they were just pulling people off the street and chopping their heads off.
Yeah, but I mean, I would have liked to have seen it, but not been there. I would like to have been an invisible bystander.
I believe.
Because I think it would have been fascinating. I would have liked to have been, what did I tell you guys, the four places? I'd like to have been during the French Revolution.
Cambodian thing.
Yeah, French Revolution, Nazi Germany, not because I approve of Nazis, just because I think it'd be interesting sociologically.
Cute's head.
What else?
Anthropologically.
What else?
The Killing Fields.
The Killing Fields in Cambodia. And there was another one.
China.
Culture Revolution in China. That was Cambodia.
Yeah.
But the good news is we're going to have Donald Trump in a few months. So we'll get to go get a live through that.
This is what it's like anyway.
All right. Go ahead.
I'm not a fan of that.
Now, the most famous victim, of course, of the guillotine is Marie Antoinette.
Yes.
And she...
Let them eat cake.
And we'll get to her story shortly.
I like cake.
Well, and that's what she said. And actually, that's a misnomer, because she said, let them eat Twinkies.
No. She did not say either one, but go ahead.
Mm-hmm. That's where Twinkies were invented, back in
front. You're stepping on my story.
My bad, Timmy.
Let them eat cake steps on your story.
Yes.
So... Now, the name dates from this period, but similar devices have been used elsewhere in Europe
over
several centuries. And one was a smaller one that used a axe, the head of an axe, a wide axe. For
bigger asses.
Nah, it's just a
port. Back handle wide.
It was portable. You could take it around with you.
That's what my daddy used to say.
What's that?
Her ass was big as six axe handles or something along those lines.
That's big.
If you got a huge ass, you have to measure it in axe handles. I think that that's the way you need to.
Does that mean that she could fit six axe handles in
an
ass?
It means that if you laid out axe handles.
Twerking fool.
Oh, okay.
That means she
she's
was
a twerking
wide,
fool.
More wider than tall.
Man. Now, that's not a good look.
My dad was a man of many sayings.
I can tell.
Well, okay, now let me get here. Dr. Joseph Guillotine is who the guillotine was named after.
Sounds made up name.
Joe.
Sounds like a made up name.
Yeah.
Joe.
Yeah.
Joe G.
And he worked for the French Mafia.
You know what his patients called him?
Joe G.
Doctor.
Dr. Joe G.
He worked for the French Mafia at this time.
He did not.
And was a hitman for the French Mafia.
No.
So they wanted a way for them to dispose of their victims quickly and painlessly.
Tell me again how you walked in and he was researching his topic.
Okay, so
he was this French physician. He was not a hitman for the French Mafia.
No.
The French Mafia didn't exist.
Didn't exist because
he wasn't part of the French Connection.
But anyway, he was born in the 1738, and he was a very respected physician.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was concerned with the barbaric execution methods of the day.
Yes. And where was he born?
He was born.
I'm interested.
In France?
France.
Dun, 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 dun.
I don't know the rest of it. All I got are the symbols.
Okay. Well, now, Dr. Guillotine.
He's supposed to say
France.
He wanted a more humane approach that would limit the suffering of these poor bastards.
Well, that's sweet.
He was a humanitarian.
He was a giver.
He was actually against the death penalty.
He was opposed to the death penalty, but he thought this would be a more humane approach.
Being opposed to the death penalty.
So he lobbied to get this thing used in France, before the guillotine, members of nobility were beheaded with a sword or an axe, which often take two or more blows to kill the condemned.
Yeah, which would be
painful. While commoners were usually hanged, which could take, quite some time.
That took a few minutes.
Were they hanged if they were hung?
Well,
hung.
That's why the colonel doesn't go to France. I do not want to get hanged because I'm hung to me. But here's a strange thing about him. We might have covered this in a podcast.
Still doesn't matter if you're impotent.
Yeah. You got 10 pounds of limp sausage. It don't matter.
You just get you some popsicle sticks and some duct tape.
There's a thing now like the Air Jordan shoes where you
But you know what I'd be afraid of?
You used to be able to implant those.
Yeah.
I think they still do.
Yeah.
You know what I'd be
afraid
of? You
do it under your arm.
Is that
they have Viagra now.
You get all filled up.
I don't think it helps.
And
if your dick is broken, I don't know that it helps you.
Yeah.
You get it all filled up.
Yeah.
And then when you let the thing pull a, little cord or whatever, you go flying across the room like a balloon. And then you land on your back, your head or whatnot, and your pecker still limp as a wet noodle. But anyway,
it sucks.
Where was I?
I don't know.
Dr. Guillotine.
Okay.
He was wanting a
commoners were usually hanged. And this is the thing about hanging, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
People don't understand how gruesome hanging was. To be the hangman was an art because if you didn't drop the person, if you had to take into account their weight, how far they were going to fall, whatnot, how long the rope was going to be.
Right.
Because if you let them fall too far, like, say, 12 feet,
mm-hmm.
it'd tear the damn head right off.
Right.
Now, even though the crowds will gather around.
Isn't that what that gives you?
Yeah.
Good thing we got this.
Yeah. But if you didn't, if the rope wasn't long enough, it would not break their neck. So when you were getting hung, what you was really hoping for is that optimal thing where it snaps your neck right away and you die.
You want someone to know what they're doing, that's for sure.
You do want an experienced executioner at all times.
Yeah.
Because during the French Revolution, now the radicals, they was hanging people just left and right. And they was hanging the aristocrats from the street lanterns.
Right.
Now, other gruesome methods of execution were used, such as the wheel or burning at the stake. Now, the wheel we're going to get into a little bit,
wheel
too.
Wheel or burning
at the stake. Before we talk about the wheel burning at the stake, let me guillotine was named after guillotine, right? But he didn't invent it. Right.
He just pushed for its use. He lobbied for its use because all this things...
And he would later try to get them to change the name of it because he didn't want to be associated with it. But he went to court to try to get it.
Because he was a physician.
Yeah. He was a man of...
do no harm.
Yeah, do no harm.
And this was harmful.
Well, yeah, if your head got chopped off.
It was harmful.
He opposed, he opposed the death penalty. He later opposed the guillotine. He wanted him to change the name, but it kind of stuck. But before the guillotine, it was even worse.
Before that, Timmy, you had the breaking wheel.
Tell us about the breaking
wheel. Now, the breaking wheel, now if you think of a big wagon wheel with a bunch of spokes.
Okay.
It's now, they tie you limbs
crossways. I think of Porter Wagner, like what Porter Wagner had
right,
on his suit.
Exactly. Yeah, back in County Hayride or some shit.
No, he banged Dolly Parton.
And, I know. Yeah. And you know what? I still bang Dolly Parton. She's old. She's probably 75
Dolly Parton
years
would not
old.
Bang you.
You don't know that.
I do, actually.
You do not know that.
Yeah, I bet she looks pretty rough,
She might look a little rough without a wig and naked, but
yeah.
I don't care.
Still got pretty big boobies.
The colonel would give her.
Yeah.
Old women need love,
man, aren't you, colonel? You're a boob man.
The colonel is kind of a boob man, yeah.
Kind of. What the...
That's all he thinks about.
And the devil just covered hers up. She just closed her sweater off.
Feeling uncomfortable, are you?
Feel a little skeevy.
Ain't nobody you didn't catch me staring.
So, I didn't catch you staring.
You didn't catch me staring. You can't blame me. But anyway,
you are known to be
this breaking wheel. Now imagine you got a spoked wheel.
Okay.
So you get tied to this wheel.
Like you would find on a cart.
Yeah. Like now imagine Da Vinci's man.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
In that shape, your arms straight out, your legs.
Yeah.
And what this does is it has your limbs where you got gap. You got the support up by the spokes, but then you got gaps there.
Right.
And what they would do, like a thigh gap, what they would do is they would come up to you, Timmy. Mm-hmm. Now imagine this. Mm-hmm. You're minding your own business. Next thing you know,
you're not
minding
your own business or you're not going to be tied to the wheel.
Well, you know, you get into a little bit of mischief.
Yeah.
You're tied to a wheel. And then some bitch comes up and hits you right above the elbow.
Ooh.
With an iron bar.
And you're like stretched out.
Then my pitching career is over.
Yeah, and then you know what they would do?
You can't play lesbian softball.
They'd hit you right below the elbow.
Ooh.
So they break the bones, and they broke both bones in each arm. Then they would move to the leg, and they'd break the leg. Above, what's that, the femur. Mm-hmm. They break the leg above the kneecap. And then they'd hit you right below the kneecap in the shit, with an iron bar. That some bitch, that sound
Why
like it
Why are we listening
hurt
about this? I thought we were talking about the guillotine.
Well, he's telling us what the other...
this is why the guillotine came into play.
Yeah.
Why
it's more humane than the wheel, the breaking wheel.
Yeah. It was just, and they'd use this iron cudgel. And
people
just
would live for days on this thing, right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
You can break your arms.
Or they'd also use a thing called a saltire.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a cross, which you wouldn't know anything about that. Well, you got the upside down cross in your religion, right?
Pentagrams, what they use.
Yeah, think of the wheels like a pentagram, but this is a cross, devil. A cross. Two wooden beams nailed in an X shape.
Mm-hmm.
After
so it's an
which,
X and not a cross.
They take the mangled body from this person from
it's
the
an
wheel.
X and not a cross. Then,
yeah.
So he doesn't know his shapes.
He doesn't.
Like my 4-year-old does.
Right.
Well, I believe if you take an X and turn it 45 degrees, it becomes a cross.
No, it doesn't.
All right, Colonel. Continue.
I just wrote it down on a piece of paper. Now, right there, that's an X.
Okay.
If I turn it like that,
I believe you, Colonel.
That's a cross, Timmy. Do you see my cross right there?
Yeah, but our audience can't see that, so...
Oh, I forgot. We're not on YouTube yet.
No, we are not. That's a shame, though.
Anyway...
It's nice to be on YouTube.
So they might display the bottle, and actually, sometimes they just get... they tie you to the wheel and get another wheel and beat you with it. That wasn't no fun
was
either.
Pretty, I mean, they had some pretty gruesome ways of carrying out justice. The Colonel's justice.
Colonel justice.
Yeah. So the survival time after being broken, it could be extensive. Accounts exist of a 14th century murderer who lived for 3 days after undergoing the punishment. In 1348, during the time of the Black Death, a Jewish man named Bona dies underwent the punishment. Bona dies.
His nickname was Boner.
Bona dies. That's
what they call you, isn't it, Colonel?
It's an ironic nickname.
It's sent to that's what Bona's sent to die.
Okay, so this is during the Black Plague when Jewish people were blamed for the
Death. Were blamed for it. They gave him the punishment. They said he lived for 4 days. And now we get Dottie. We do got a serial killer here. In 1581, German serial killer Chrisman Jenna Pertinent Jenna.
Wow.
Lived like for 9 days. Just like it sounds, yeah. Lived for 9 days on the breaking wheel before dying. Oh, having been deliberately kept alive with strong drink.
So they kept him alive.
So they got him plowed.
Mm-hmm.
So he could live a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Suffer a little bit longer.
So this was
a little bit more Hennessy there.
Can I interest you in some more vodka?
Sometimes after, in the middle of this beating, mercifully they would give a coup de grace, which
I love translates. That dessert.
I love a coup de grace.
I love that. With whipped cream, it's spectacular.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny that you mention that, because coup de grace, when translated into the native tongue, French, it means blow of mercy.
Man,
now, how many times have you got a blow of mercy, Timmy?
Not
a blow from just begging for it. I mean,
every time I've had one.
Please, don't you know I could explode? Things could happen. Bad things could happen to me. So it's called.
No one else is going to do it.
I'm about to go off to war.
Oh my God.
So anyway, people could just last for hours. Sometimes they just tie them to the cross and let the birds peck.
I'll tell you what,
peck at the helpless victim.
If they put me on that fucking thing and let the and make me suffer and have birds pecking on me, I better get a fucking coup de grace. Yeah. It better be a spectacular coup de grace.
The best coup de grace.
With whipped cream.
I mean, I'm talking.
You know. You're going to grab the back of their head with your hands up.
As long as you get to the same result, it doesn't really matter. But
well, eventually shock, dehydration, and whatnot will cause death to people.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, if you don't feed them or you don't eat or you don't give any water, eventually you die.
We're just going to beat you and let the birds peck at you and see how long you live here.
But they give them blowjobs. That's what I can understand.
I think they treat them very fair.
You know, some nights it does seem like that's a fair trade-off to me.
I tell you what.
You want to beat me? You want to hit me with an iron bar first? That's fine.
I am going to post me an ad on Craigslist asking for a coup de grace. $50 for a coup de grace. I can host.
You know, that's how you can tell the cops, Timmy. You just say, how much for the coup de grace?
Right.
Oh, my God.
So, anyway. Now, having a sensitive nature and a kind heart.
For 30 minutes in this thing, I haven't talked about Marie Antoinette yet.
Yeah, I thought this was going to be short.
On October 10, 1789, Dr. Guillotine proposed a device invented by another Frenchman named Antoine Louis behead the condemned with a single drop of the blade.
See, and it was originally called a Louis. And then they changed it to guillotine.
Because King that's Louis. Where that song, Louis. Yeah, that was like killing from? Three people. Yeah.
No, I think that guy got ripped off. He,
Well, I don't think he had a patent on it.
Well,
he was like Jonas Salk. He thought it was for the good of mankind.
And I think they had variations of the guillotine already. That it's become popular during the French Revolution and the Reign of Terror.
So anyway, the guillotine was perceived as more humane, without the risk of suffocation. And furthermore, having only one method of civil execution was seen as an expression of equality among citizens.
Yeah, so it's equal, because before they had separation, right, between
some royalty. Some people got hung, some people got beheaded.
Depending on your social status.
Some people got drowned, but that was the witches in Salem. And that, like that was your people, though.
Yeah, it was her folks.
My tribe.
As you said, some people could pay the executioner off to make the death more humane, right?
Well, they paid the executioner to sharpen the blade first.
Yeah.
Which didn't really matter, because even a dull blade would lop your head off. But
yeah, but they thought they were helping.
Well, they wanted to make sure that they didn't get half beheaded, because there ain't nothing worse than half a header.
No.
I mean, you didn't get a header.
Your head just kind of fucking hanging there.
Yeah, just wobble there. You got some drool coming out your mouth there. Ain't nothing worse than that. I mean, you want your head chopped off.
You want it coming off cut. In a
clean... Yeah.
Yeah.
And now, you know, today, with the razor blades and shit they got today, you know they'd have a guillotine with five blades.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's
the first rut blade would raise your head.
Because it's only a matter of time.
Gillette, I think they might
time. Yes. It's only a matter of time before you get to one... Instead of just nicking yourself, it's got 38 blades on it, and it just peels the whole side of your face off.
Yeah,
I don't trust those kind of blades. But anyway,
I was worried.
They made it the only way you could kill people.
Yeah. So they made it so it didn't matter.
And it was the only civil legal execution in France until the abolition of the death penalty in 1981.
Yes. Yeah. So the guillotine has been around. It was around for 200 years, basically.
Yeah. So
only method.
And while he didn't invent the device and was opposed to the death penalty, the device became known as a guillotine. He was so opposed to it that Dr. Guillotine, and you know what, Guillotine, look at that. I believe Gillette is in there.
He should have asked for royalties every time they used it.
He really should have.
I bet you could make Gillette out of the words guillotine.
No, you cannot.
Out of his letters.
No, you cannot.
Maybe anyway,
he spelled it backwards.
There's a G in there, yeah. Go ahead. Continue, Colonel.
He petitioned the court to change the name of the device.
Yeah.
So and the request was denied. Then he went and picketed the courts.
Mm-hmm.
And they drug his ass out and lopped his head off.
He picketed the courts.
He got guillotined with the guillotine.
They did not.
So that's one
not
little true. Guy with his little sign out there picketing the courts.
Yeah,
I don't think you want to do much picketing during the Reign of Terror.
Call it the Louis. Call it the Louis. He had signs. He had all kinds of stuff, man. Then they just drug him out and chopped his head off.
That is not true. But he did not like being associated with the name guillotine. So I'd be like,
you know what I think they should call it?
That'd be like someone going around...
The head cutter off?
No, that'd be someone going around with a small penis being referred to as the colonel all the time. You wouldn't like that.
I would not like that, and it would be libelous and...
slanderous.
Slanderous.
Yes.
But I think they should call
it... Defamation.
The guillotine. I think... You know what I think they should call it?
What?
The head cutter off.
I think they should call it... the colonel's mighty shaft.
You know what would be very cruel would be a penis guillotine.
You know.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Put your little penis in there.
Have you ever seen cigar cutters, Timmy?
Yeah,
that is.
I seen
penis
a movie one time
yeah.
where they took a cigar cutter to the guy's tallywhacker.
That would not be
good. But you know what? He talked.
That's not a good thing.
He talked.
Yeah. Yeah. The next time he talked, it was at a higher pitch, I bet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He talked.
Okay.
All right. Wait, you know what he didn't say?
What? That was Jeremy or
Pomeroy.
Jesse Pomeroy.
Jesse
right.
Pomeroy.
All right, so we get this background of the guillotine because we want to talk about Marie Antoinette, right?
Because we wanted to spend 47 minutes.
I know, this was not well planned. Okay, Marie Antoinette. We're obviously, we don't have time to go into the whole French Revolution and talk about everything intelligently. So
we couldn't if we tried.
We couldn't if we tried. But we're going to talk about the life of Marie Antoinette and then her, of course, her fate at the hands of the executioner and the guillotine. So Marie Antoinette was born in Vienna, Austria. Interesting side note, I went through Austria once.
This isn't interesting so far.
I was on a train. I was going from Switzerland.
Was it a midnight train?
No. No, it was on a train from Munich, or a train from Switzerland to Munich, Germany.
It's a crazy train.
And you just, I mean, like, for three minutes, you go through Austria. They come on the train, and they charge you $15.
Yeah.
Because you go across through.
Rat just, bastards.
I mean, you just, like, cut the corner right across the country. $15.
They build the train around the
I don't know. But and on the way back, the same deal. So, I don't know. But anyway, that was just a little interesting tidbit.
WTF, that's all I got to say.
Marie Antoinette was born in Vienna, Austria in 1755. She was the Archduchess. She was the 15th and last child of the Emperor of Austria, Emperor Francis I.
Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he had 15 children, but her mama didn't have 15 children.
I don't know. She's the 15th child of this dude.
Okay. He was spreading that seed.
Yeah. But anyway, they had been at war a long time with France, and they wanted to kind of consolidate and create a new alliance with them. After the 7 years war they had. Mm-hmm. So the monarchs got together, and the Austrian monarch, who I just mentioned his name, Francis I, had Frank. He offered daughter number 15. He's got 15 kids. What the hell?
Frank.
He offered Marie to marry Louis the 16th son, Louis, who would later become Louis the 16th.
Louis the 16th.
And he was the Dauphin, which is the, you know, kind of heir apparent to the French crown. So they had agreed that his youngest daughter would marry Louis the 16th. So on May 7th, 1770, which is right around our birthday, Brandy.
It is.
Not 1770, but May 7th. The 14-year-old bride was delivered to the French on an island in the middle of the Rhine River in Germany, and all of her possessions was taken away from her that day and that she had, and then she became Marie Antoinette. And at that point, she became the 15-year-old wife of the future king of France. And, of course, they lived in Versailles. And she didn't have a very good education because women did not get warrant education back in those days.
She didn't need one. She was pretty.
But she was.
Well, there ain't no reason. You know, why even teach the women to me?
Well, I'm just saying that she didn't learn a lot about history or politics. She lived a very sheltered life. What was the guy's name on Saturday Night Live that would the liar? You know what I mean? The guy.
Yeah.
Oh, it was John Lovitz.
Yeah. John Lovitz. Louis the 16th looks like John Lovett. So that's the deal she was getting into.
Oh.
This little short, fat, John Lovett-looking guy.
She was a pretty woman, too.
And Marie Antoinette was very beautiful.
She had
yeah.
nice rock
yeah,
on.
She was very beautiful.
Well, and that's good because she wasn't real bright.
Well,
you know what?
She stuck with John Lovett, you know. Yeah, that's the ticket.
Right. Yeah, I remember
now
that.
Now, tell me, now she keeps, why would you insult? You're just making the assumption that the girl pretty and she ain't bright.
You just said she wasn't very bright.
You're a sexist.
No, I'm saying she wasn't bright. She was educated in music and art, stuff like that, but she wasn't educated
she
in
was
politics.
She was an intelligent girl.
Because it was, well, the lack of schooling and education in politics led to some problems later on.
Ladies, for the ladies watching this show, could
nobody's
it be noted that,
it,
or listening to the show, could it be noted that I am the one sticking up for the girl here and they're calling her ignorant?
No, I'm not calling
just
her ignorant.
Just because she got
I'm
big
just,
boobies.
I'm just saying that she wasn't trained.
Big booty Judy.
She wasn't educated in politics. So she lived a very sheltered life. She didn't know what the world was like outside the palace walls. She couldn't go anywhere. She was stuck in Versailles, and all she, you know, had time to, you know, they lived a very strange life. First of all, people took turns dressing her every day.
She had a lady maid.
No, I mean family.
She had a lady's maid.
Families who were close, you know, close to nobility, and they took turns. They, you know, everyone wanted a chance to dress her in the morning, which
like
is
a doll.
Sounds to me is a little creepy.
No. A doll.
But, you know, whatever. Who am I to judge?
My neighbor from up the street come down and dress me in the morning.
Your blind neighbor?
Yeah, I was going to say, I was wondering how that happened. When she would eat, they would have an audience watch him eat every day.
Well, I do that.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, it's a creepy little thing. She had to get used to the whole... So she was spoiled. Now, they thought that, you know, of course, her role was to give the king... when he became king.
A coup de grâce.
An heir,
right? But the problem was, their marriage was not consummated for the first 7 years.
I don't blame her.
Now I've got a problem with that.
That's some serious foreplay right there.
And she had to get plowed.
Well, if you look like John Lovett, you're probably not getting laid a lot. But here's the thing. I don't understand, Colonel. You remember being a 15-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Now, he's not banging this beautiful young lady.
He was only 15 at the time.
Yeah, he was only 15 at the time too. He was only 1 year older.
Damn,
she was. But my point being, these are kids. But my point being, when you're 15, you know, as a 15-year-old boy, you get hard when the wind blows.
Oh
right?
Yeah,
right. Yeah. So I mean, he's got this beautiful young girl, and you know,
but we also know how bitchy.
And
teenage girls are.
They didn't have no Xbox back
then.
Well,
no, she's probably playing Candy Crush or something the whole time.
Yeah. No, but you know how bitchy 16-year-old girls are. Oh, my God. Now somebody has to come get me dressed again. Oh, my God. Could she sit over there and watch me eat just a little bit less, please? Oh, my God.
At first, she was well-loved by the French people because, you know, she was a curiosity. She was kind of like Lady Di in the fact that, you know, she was very popular and people wanted to see the new princess or the new queen.
Oh, my God.
But as time went on and she didn't provide an heir, you know, people got a little cranky and they blamed her. They didn't blame the king.
No.
They blamed her. They didn't blame John Lovett for not banging her. So finally, though, they had to intervene and they had to give John Lovett, King Louis the 16th, you know, a crash course in fornication.
Maybe that was the problem.
In fornication.
Well, actually, I believe he's probably gay.
This is when they got married. The King the 15th, blessed their bed, and gave them both a kiss as they left the room and allowed him to start on producing a royal heir. Now, I'm picturing this old king, like, kissing his grandson on the forehead and then, like, giving her this dirty French kiss.
Squeezing
that's why
up,
she won't sleep with him.
Real good.
Oh, my God. Did you see our dad? Oh, my God.
Anyway, they think that, that the dolphin, King Louis the 16th,
or whatever
king to be, the heir to the throne, had suffered from a medical condition that left him impotent.
It was either that. I actually have heard that he was gay.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know, but there was rumors that he was impotent, and that was, of course, before Viagra. And so,
but they had those medieval suction pumps back.
They did an operation on him that apparently did the trick because he was able. He would eventually have children. They'd eventually have 4 children, actually, including a male heir. But she cut some hell early on. Now, as I said, she wasn't educated in the way of politics, so she just spent money left and right. She had big parties, had, you know, bought fancy dresses all the time.
They got to dress her in something.
Mm-hmm. All the time, the French economy was going to hell. You had the Seven-Year War. You had the French was supporting the United States. You know, during the American Revolution, because they were, you know, they were, you know, kind of in the face of Great Britain.
Great Britain.
Mm-hmm. So now she commissioned the construction of this little hamlet, a utopian hamlet with lakes and gardens and cottages and wind, water mills, so that her and her ladies in waiting could dress up like peasants and pretend to be milkmaids. So she was in this little fantasy world while people were, you know, people didn't have enough to eat, and, you know, right in Paris.
Let them eat cake.
She did not say that. But anyway, that was the appearance that she portrayed. In fact, they had a name for her. It was Madame Deficit.
Bitch hole.
No, Madame Deficit, because she spent her month. Now, I will say,
Deficit.
Interesting enough, here's a little tidbit.
Who said let them eat cake?
She did not say that. She was famous, of course, for saying let them eat cake. But it was actually, she never actually said that. It was actually, there's some literature where people had said that in, it was a fiction book, a work of fiction, in which a queen in Spain had said that. But that was written before she was even born. But be that as it may.
Which I never understood, because if they got cake, why the hell do they care about bread?
I don't know, Colonel. But anyway, I think it was the point that she just didn't care. And that let them eat cake became, of course, synonymous with her. And in real fact, she didn't really say it. But my point, the other little bit tidbit.
Your point being,
there is one town in the United States that was named after Marie Antoinette. Do you know which town that would be, Brandy?
Marietta.
Marietta, Ohio, yes. Very good.
Boom, bitches!
That was good.
You was thinking Marietta, Georgia.
No, Marietta, Ohio was named after her. But anyway, okay, I digress.
She's still playing Candy Crush over
in 1774.
Got the answer right. Suck
in,
it.
In 1774, King Louis the 15th died.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and that meant Louis the 16th.
Yeah, that's it.
And yeah. Marie.
That's it.
And Marie were crowned king and queen of France. Now, we're assuming that he was the king and she was a queen. It just says queen.
I think it went either way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From the start, Louis was a little over his head. France, as I said, was having some severe financial problems. The economy was shit. He inherited kind of a bad situation from his father, King Louis the 15th. In addition to that, the queen fell under criticism, as I said, for her extravagant behavior. And she was still kind of devoted to Austria, and people started resenting that because, you know, they had fought a long war with Austria, and they were always on the verge of fighting a war with Austria. So they questioned her loyalty, which would come into play a little bit later on as well. But as she grew older, and Marie died, I think, right before her 38th birthday, so she only lived to be 38. And of course, which is perfect, as you know, Colonel, because after that age, what happens?
They would have had to lop off a penis too, Timmy.
Because when a woman turns 40, what happens?
They start to grow a penis. They make the turn into a man.
If they're with you, then clearly somebody needs to have a penis. Because yours doesn't work.
So she started exerting more influence over her husband, and as I said, he was kind of a dimwit. He didn't know
what That's
he
why
was.
She started sleeping with him.
There were some vicious rumors about Marie, though. There was rumors that she was having affairs. There was rumors that there was orgies going on at the Versailles.
All true.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, not all true.
All there was true. Also like Sodom and Gomorrah.
Some Photoshop pictures of her in...
photoshopped? In Paris tabloids?
Yeah, and there was some porn pictures of her making
around. Did she make a sex tape?
She didn't, but
it's on beta.
But you know, yeah. You know, I don't know. It was going around. It was going around Paris. So the peasants of Paris came.
She was like the Kardashians.
Came,
of France.
You know,
she really was.
Came to the gates of Versailles. You know, Versailles just right outside of Paris. Went to the gates of Versailles, demanding that you know that the monarchy be responsive to their needs, the dire condition that they were in. And then, of course, that's where she is famous for uttering, "Let them eat cake." And she didn't care. But, of course, as I said that, she never actually said that. But it has stuck through the years. Nevertheless.
She said, fuck those poor bastards.
I got paraphrasing. They were paraphrasing.
We're just going to wait it out here. They're going to starve to death in a week. Ain't nobody going to be complaining.
If I owned a bakery, though, that's what I would call it.
What's that?
If I owned a bakery, I would call it Let Them Eat Cake.
Let Them Eat Cake.
Or Take the Cake, one or the other. There is no evidence that she eventually...
Fucking fascinating.
As I said, there's...
That's some thought to me.
Nevertheless, Marie fell in favor with the people of France, who did not like her extravagant lifestyle, like I said, and they did not like the fact that she was showing some loyalty to Austria, and... She was, because of the revolution was occurring, you know, the revolution occurred in stages. At first, they just wanted the monarchy to kind of work with them, right? Work with the general
recognize their needs.
Recognize their
recognize.
Needs. They didn't want to do away. They didn't want to do away with the monarchy. They just wanted they wanted them to compromise. But Marie didn't want to compromise, and neither did the clergy. And so the people were kind of screwed. So the more they felt, you know, the more difficult the monarchy and the religious leaders made it for change, the more angry the people got, right? And so they finally arrested Marie and Louise. They took them out of from Versailles in 1791.
Louise?
Louis.
Wheezy? They arrested Wheezy?
You guys,
you guys was questioning his sexuality just a minute ago. So,
poor Wheezy.
Marie and Louis, they were arrested and they were taken to Paris, so they never saw their beloved Versailles again.
It's all right. That thing is gaudy as hell.
They tried to escape, and they tried to escape to Austria, but they were caught. During the trip, they were apprehended by the revolutionary forces, and they were taken back to Paris. Finally, in 1791, King Louis the 16th was forced to accept a constitution that reduced his reign to a mere figurehead. It was kind of like a bobblehead.
Yeah,
figurehead.
And this kind of satisfied the revolutionaries for a while. And as King Louis the 16th reluctantly agreed to their revolutionary demands in hopes of retaining his throne. So he's kind of hoping, you know, kind of get a situation like what's going on in England where you had just this figurehead monarchy.
Mm-hmm.
But still being able, you know, to bang whoever you want and having, you know, lots of food.
Bang
a lot of cake.
And keep the title.
Yeah, keep the title. But the revolution, as we know, became more militant. They went through what was called a reign of terror, where people of nobility were, you know, executed. In fact, Marie Antoinette's best friend was...
she got an ugly one.
She got disemboweled in the streets of Paris as the king and queen were in, you know, their tower. They had put them in the tower, which is now where the Louvre is in Paris.
The Louvre?
The Louvre, yeah.
The Louvre?
Mm-hmm. So through the Reign of Terror, the revolutionary folks started, they started being concerned that the king and queen, if they ever got out, could go somewhere in exile and would be a threat to the revolution. So they thought about how they were going to get away, or what they were going to do with, you know, what was going to be the fate of King Louis the 16th and his Austrian wife, Marie Antoinette.
So in August of 1792, the royal couple was arrested and imprisoned. In September of 1792, the monarchy was abolished,
by the National Convention. And in November of that same year, evidence of Louis's counter-revolutionary intrigues with Austria and other foreign nations was discovered. He was put on trial for treason by the National Convention.
Yeah, basically they was reaching out to Austria to get them to intervene. And you got to, you know, at this time, France, everyone was coming down on France, right? Because all the countries in Europe were all monarchies, and they didn't want to see revolution spread. So
I keep kicking the devil. I'm sorry.
Why didn't they just surrender?
Who?
France.
That's what they, well,
for, they do.
That's what they did every time after that.
No.
It's like, I get fine. I
mean, you know that they lost more men in World War One than all the other countries combined. No. Not all of them combined, but more than any other country.
Right, I wasn't there, so.
You know, Timmy was around for that.
Timmy was there.
Why are you sticking up for France all of a sudden?
Because they get this bad rap. France gets this bad rap of already surrendering. France? And the only time that happened was in World War Two when they were not prepared. But in World War One, they lost millions and millions of
because they were all drunk.
No.
So did you just
eat your, I'm trying to read this. Yes,
did you eat your freedom toast for breakfast?
Yeah,
this
freedom toast.
Stupid. I like French, especially the kissing part.
On December 26th, on December 11th, 1792, among crowded and silent streets, the deposed king was brought from the temple to stand before the convention and hear his indictment. An accusation of high treason and crimes against the state.
You know what I never understood?
What the difference between high and low treason?
What is low treason?
Well, that's when you're you're a traitor, but you're very short.
Midget treason?
Yes. Yes, that's the same thing. On December 26th.
Well, no, you can be short and still not be a midget.
Dwarf treason.
No, let's say you're 4'9". You commit treason. It wouldn't be high treason. High treason is someone 5'7" or above.
Oh, okay. Now it makes sense to me. Yeah.
Let's see. On December 26th, his counsel.
By the way, that was the day after Christmas, and also recognized as
Boxer Day.
Boxer Day. That's when you only wear your boxers, not your
Okay.
I got the kind with snaps.
If you wear briefs, you get your tallywhacker guillotined.
His counsel, Raymond Disease, delivered Louis's responses to the charges. That is what his name is.
You need to brush up on your French, young lady.
How do you know what it is? What do you say? It looks like
it's
disease.
Dessier.
I don't know.
Dessier.
Is that what it is? Yes. All right, Dessier.
I should have gave her Rossier.
Fuck, I've been listening to Tim.
I should have given her Rossier.
I got Lyme dossier.
See, whenever she is, she usually just takes the name out. She usually just removes the character from the story.
No.
I can't pronounce that name either.
There's gaping holes in the story all the time.
Yeah,
if they got too many.
They serial killers?
Too many vowels in there.
They have normal names, stupid.
They're being serial killers. Like, be, I know there'll be like 10 victims, and she'll do like 7 of them.
Because one's like got more than 4 syllables in it.
They have like 4 syllables. She's after 4 syllables, man.
What the hell? Okay. So on December 15th of 1793, on January 15th of 1793, the convention, composed of 721 deputies, voted on the verdict. Given overwhelming.
That's a hell of a jury, isn't it?
It really is.
I don't know. And you know what? If you're the king and queen, how are you going to find a jury of your peers? Because there ain't
you
no
don't.
Kings and queens.
You don't.
No, but they got this revolutionary council. It's got, how many you say, 700?
It composed of 721 deputies. No sheriffs. So.
And you know, here's what I don't understand. You know that Bob Marley song, I Shot the Sheriff?
I do.
He admits to shooting the sheriff, but not the deputy. But he's still a murderer.
Did we
either way.
Did we know? Was the deputy even shot?
The sheriff had it coming, though. Sheriff John Brown always hated him.
But my point is, he's already admitted to shooting the guy.
But Sheriff John Brown had it coming.
I would have said,
did he?
I didn't shoot the sheriff.
Nor did
I shoot the deputy.
Was the deputy even shot?
We don't know.
See.
Yeah, so it might be a moot point.
It's a moot.
A moot point.
Yeah, you all go ahead and make fun of me.
Go ahead with the
history dweebs with intellectual giants.
Thrive. Go ahead with the discussing attorney disease.
Whatever. At least that's fucking French and not the word moot.
Moot.
No. It's a moot point. If
it's
not
watch Friends, where he says it's a moot point. It's like the point of a cow. It just doesn't matter.
It's a moot point.
The moot point. All right.
All right, continue.
So they had 721 deputies. Mm-hmm. Given the overwhelming evidence of Louis's collusion with the invaders, the verdict was a foregone conclusion. With 693 deputies voting guilty, none for acquittal, and 23 abstaining. Because those fuckers can't make up their mind.
Yeah,
they were. Well, they were kind of waiting to see which way the wind blows.
Well, yeah, you don't want to risk it. The next day, a roll call vote was carried out, so they knew who they were. It was carried out to decide upon the fate of the famous king, and the result was uncomfortably close for such a dramatic decision. Doesn't seem close at all there from what I'm looking at, but that's all right. 288 of the deputies voted against death.
Okay.
And for some other alternative, mainly some means of imprisonment or exile.
Or you could have made him write, I will not.
Yeah. I will not be
a traitor. I will not be a traitor. People.
Yeah. 72 of the deputies voted for the death penalty, but subject to a number of delaying conditions and reservations.
I pictured like a whole gallery of Barney Fife sitting around me.
361 of the deputies voted for Louis' immediate death.
Oh.
The next day, why didn't somebody just come and shoot him right there?
Yeah.
The next day, a motion to grant Louis XIV reprieve, or I'm sorry, 16th, reprieve from the death sentence was voted down. 310 of the deputies requested mercy, but 310 voted mercy, 380 voted for the immediate execution of, or, yeah.
Some impatient.
The decision
right
is
there.
Final.
All right, so he lost on that vote.
On Monday, January 21st, 1793, as King Louis XIV, God, 16th.
This democracy thing isn't working out well for him at all.
No. Mounted the scaffold, he appeared dignified and resigned. He delivered a short speech.
Just in case
before,
I never die.
Before his head was cut off.
I tell you what, mine would be long as a motherfucker.
I'd be a filibuster.
And in conclusion.
My last meal, what do you mean? I know, and I would like...
Turn the music down. Yeah. Turn the music down.
I would be telling stories like a girl here.
All right, so he delivered a short...
Can you imagine his last speech?
I can't imagine any... No. So he delivered a short speech in which he pardoned those who are the cause of my death.
Yeah. Take a shot.
He was like Jesus.
Many accounts suggest Louis' desire to say more... But a general in the National Guard halted the speech by order of the jumble. They do the same thing at the Oscars.
Yeah,
start playing the music.
The red light went on.
This little cane.
Yeah,
across the stage.
Stop it. Let's see. The former king was then quickly beheaded. Well, so that
by the guillotine.
By the guillotine.
It's kind of anticlimactic.
Well, it's kind of Some accounts.
Another thing.
Some accounts of Louis' beheading indicate that the blade did not sever his neck entirely the first time. Double guillotine.
Oh, he got a double dog guillotine.
There are accounts of blood curdling.
Ow, motherfucker.
There are accounts of a blood curdling scream.
I'm dead already. Yeah, that's it. I'm dead. Yeah.
There are accounts of a blood curdling scream issued from Louis after the blade fell. Wait a minute. This is unlikely since the blade severed Louis' spine.
So? He could still scream.
That's what I'm thinking.
He just couldn't dance.
He just couldn't move anywhere, but he could still scream. I don't know.
Couldn't dance.
Whoever writes this shit. All right.
I write that.
It is agreed that while Louis' blood dripped to the ground, many members of the crowd ran forward to dip their handkerchiefs in it.
Yeah, that's true.
Some had some bread, too.
And cake.
Yeah.
This account was proven true in 2012 after a DNA comparison linked blood thought to be from Louis the 16th beheading to DNA taken from tissue samples originating from what was long thought to be the mummified head of Henry IV of France.
Hmm. I wonder, after they dipped their handkerchief in her blood, did they use the handkerchief like to blow their nose or whatever? Or did they like put that away?
I wonder if they like put it on eBay.
Yeah. Fucking, I would buy that, dude.
Wait a minute. Hold, please.
Okay.
A blood sample taken from a squash gourd.
Okay.
Carved to commemorate the heroes of the French Revolution that had, according to legend, been used to house one of the handkerchiefs dipped in Louis' blood.
Cool.
Take that all in.
I would like to see that.
So it's a gourd that was carved out
to commemorate the heroes of the French Revolution. So I don't know if it had like a cityscape on it.
Yeah.
I don't. Okay.
Maybe it's like a little guillotine.
Yeah.
Might have.
Maximilian Robespierre.
So throughout her imprisonment and up to her execution, Marie Antoinette could count on the sympathy of conservative factions and social religious groups which had turned against the revolution, and also on wealthy individuals ready to corrupt Republican officials in order to facilitate her escape. However, all plots failed.
Damn it. I feel bad. At this point, I feel bad for her. I don't feel bad. I didn't feel bad for her when she's a spoiled little brat, but now I kind of feel bad for her.
Why?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Prisoners in the Tower of the Temple. Prisoner in the Tower of the Temple, Marie Antoinette, her children, and Elizabeth were insulted. Some of the guards going as far as smoking in the ex-queen's face.
Oh.
Face.
Well, I mean, her kids were taken away from her. She, you know, they had these rumors that she had molested her own kids. I mean, they're just saying all kind of shit about
Strict
her.
Security measures were taken to assure that Marie Antoinette was not able to communicate with the outside world. But in spite of these measures, several of the guardians were open to corruption, and a line of communication was kept with the outer world. After Louis' execution, Marie Antoinette's fate became a central question in the National Convention. While some advocated for her death, others proposed exchanging her for French prisoners of war, or for a ransom from the Holy Roman Emperor. Thomas Paine advocated exile to America.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's what we need.
Actually, and you know, it's funny, as I was talking to Kim Taylor yesterday, telling her that she really should read some of Thomas Paine's writings.
Mm-hmm.
She put on Facebook she's taking a history class.
Yeah.
And
it's only common sense.
He was imprisoned during
France. Did you get that?
Yeah. I got it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're going to be, you know, if you're going to be in the age of reason about this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another book to me.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a coincidence.
You know what? I would have. She could,
because he was imprisoned. He was certain they were going to kill him too.
She could have done couch surfing at my place.
Hmm?
Marie Antoinette could have done couch surfing at my place.
I believe if she'd just given a guard a reach around, she'd probably got out of the hole.
In April of 1798.
Well, she's 38 though at this point. So
in April,
she's still 2 years from the turn
of 1793. During the Reign of Terror, a committee of public safety was formed, and they began to call for Antoinette's trial. By the end of May,
these people just went fucking crazy. Here's the thing: the French Revolution was a good thing in the beginning, but they just went fucking crazy. They just didn't start killing.
It was like women's rights, Timmy. You know what I mean?
No, I'm not, dude. I'm not touching
it's
that.
Like you, calls were also made to retrain Marie's 8-year-old son, Louis the 17th, to make him open to revolutionary ideas. They want to brainwash her kid.
Yeah, they took her kid.
To carry this out, Louis Charles was separated from his mother on the 3rd of July, right before the 4th of July.
One day.
After a heart-wrenching struggle during which his mother fought in vain to retain her son, who was handed to Anton Simon, a cobbler.
And Tony. It's Tony. Everyone called him Tony.
Everyone did.
And he made shoes as a cobbler.
He was a cobbler.
I thought people called him Peaches.
And a representative of the Paris Commune. Until her removal from the prison temple where she was being held, Marie Antoinette spent hours trying to catch a glimpse of her son, who, within weeks, had been made to turn against her, accusing his mother of wrongdoings.
Yeah, of molestation. Well, they made him testify.
That would be a wrongdoing.
Yeah, they made him testify.
That'd be a pretty dirty deed right there.
Touched him inappropriate and stuff, and it was just stolen.
She was tried by the Revolutionary Tribunal on October 14th, 1793.
That would be right before Halloween. Mm-hmm.
Some historians believe the outcome of the trial had been decided in advance by the committee of public safety around the time of the coronation plot. Around the time the coronation plot was uncovered, She and her lawyers are given less than one day to prepare her defense. Among the accusations were orchestrating orgies at Versailles, sending millions of...
Something wrong with that?
Sending
What's wrong with that?
Millions of liv... I think it's liver... Is it livers? Liveries?
Liveries.
Liveries. Of treasury money to Austria, planning the massacre of the National Guards, in 1792 declaring her son to be the new king of France, and by her son Louis Charles himself, pushed by radical elements who controlled him, of incest.
Ooh.
The last accusation drew an emotional response from Marie Antoinette, who refused to respond to this charge and instead called on all mothers present in the room.
Yeah, and that almost... That got her some sympathy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's not what your thing says.
But no, right. she made a statement, you know, look how this is outrageous. And it kind of started to turn the tide from the women in the room who said, yeah, yeah, this is going too far.
To all of these charges, Marie Antoinette answered briefly or not at all. And when urged to reply to the last indignantly exclaimed,
"I
appeal to every mother here present, whether such a thing is possible."
I don't like that quote. It's another quote coming up.
Later. Okay, this bold retort won such applause, even from the hostile hearers, that the judges feared lest she should win the sympathy of the mob at the last moment. Went on hurriedly with the business at hand.
Yeah, so they thought that they were kind of losing the crowd when she said, you know, when she appealed to the mothers,
right. While she was questioned and badgered hour after hour, she remained cool and dignified, saying pathetically toward the last.
This is my favorite quote.
"I was a queen and you took my crown. I was a wife and you killed my husband. I was a mother and you robbed me of my three children. My blood alone remains. Take it, but do not make me suffer too long." She knew it was her life that the revolutionaries were determined to have, so she was not surprised when the verdict guilty was given, and she was condemned to die within 24 hours. See, that's how it should be. Get on it.
Carnal justice.
It was
carnal justice. Yeah.
Early on October 19, 1793, Marie Antoinette was declared guilty of the three main charges against her: depletion of the national treasury, conspiracy against the internal and external security of the state, intelligence with the enemy. This one alone was enough to condemn her to death.
Yeah, so they dropped the incest charge.
Preparing for her execution, she had to change clothes in front of her guards. She put on a plain white dress, white being the color worn by widowed queens of France.
She had a black dress, but they wouldn't let her wear it.
Her hair was shorn, her legs bound painfully behind her back, and she was leashed with a rope. Unlike her husband, who was taken to his execution in a carriage, she had to sit in an open cart. In the hour-long trip from the concierge via the Rue Saint-Honoré, a main thoroughfare to the guillotine erected... whatever. Marie maintained her composure in spite of the insults of the jeering crowd.
Yeah, just imagine she's out in this open cart.
I watched Game of Thrones, I saw.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Some in the crowd remained silent. For her final confession, a constitutional priest was assigned to her. He sat by her in the cart, and she ignored him all the way to the scaffold. Marie Antoinette was guillotined at 12:15 p.m. on October 16, 1793. Upon reaching the scaffold, Marie sprang up the steps so eagerly that she dropped one of her slippers, which is now preserved as a sacred relic.
I'd like to see that slipper.
On her way to the plank to which she'd been bound, she accidentally stepped on the executioner's foot and apologized immediately, for her sufferings had made her even tenderer to the feeling of others. Her last words were, "Pardon me, sir, I meant not to do it," to Henry Sanson, the executioner whose foot she stepped on.
Henri.
As soon as the cruel knife had fallen, the executioner held the head of his victim so all could gaze upon her features, as he had done with her husband 9 months before.
So the head chops off, he grabs her by the head, hair,
yes,
holds her up to the crowd.
Did I just say that?
Yeah, but you didn't put much. You know,
you didn't emphasize it the way Timmy. And then after that,
right,
dropped her jawbone down.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Marie. I feel bad about Marie right now. Please don't.
It was 2 weeks before her 38th birthday. Her body was thrown into an unmarked grave in the cemetery. The remains of the queen of France were buried by the state at the cost of less than $2. Both Marie Antoinette's and Louis the 16th's bodies were exhumed on January 18th of 1815 during the Bourbon Restoration, when a monarchy was restored. A Christian burial of the royal remains took place 3 days later in the necropolis of French kings at this Bisselia.
They had a proper burial.
They buried him. Mm-hmm. Despite the guillotine being used as a method to kill the most powerful man and woman in Europe, it didn't go away. In fact, it would continue to be used in France for the next two centuries. The guillotine remained France's standard method of judicial execution until the abolition of capital punishment in 1981. The last person guillotined in France was this guy with a really weird name, and it was on September 10th. September 10th, 1977.
Try it.
Hamida
Abou
Jean Dubai.
Okay. So the
and he had a
couple. And he was executed when?
September 10th, 1977.
So right before the holidays in 1977.
Yeah, sucked for him.
Sucked
for him big time.
It did.
Sucked the big wang.
Okay, Brandy, any final thoughts on Marie Antoinette or the guillotine?
No.
I kind of liked her. And
I'm not surprised.
I would do her.
Not surprised by that either.
Would you do the... You would not do the 38-year-old Marie Antoinette.
No, but like the 19-year-old?
Yeah.
20? Yeah.
Yeah, but she had pubic lice.
She had pubic lice?
They all did.
You know what? She dressed up like the little milkmaid.
That would have been hot.
Yeah. And yeah, come you had to get your little milk, your little stool.
Come milk this, baby. Come milk this.
I don't know what you're getting excited about.
All you have to do is sit.
We need to wrap this up.
All you have to do is sit there and moo. Woo! All right, so where can people find us, Brandy?
They can find us on Stitcher,
Facebook,
iTunes.
Yeah, join our Facebook page called History Dweebs, the podcast. And you can find us on Twitter at HistoryDweebs1.
Yep.
And we'll see y'all again next time.
Hold on.
Okay.
The Colonel going to be on Dancing with the Stars.
Okay. Right.
Tell
them
about that.
That's not involved with wrapping it up.
We'll see you next time on History Dweebs.
Good day.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.